We have a lot to cover in a little bit of time. Amen. God wants to say a lot. You know, God is speaking in each and every situation. Amen. And we just have to be listening as we see our world falling apart. Make sure you're listening for the voice of God in everything that you see and that you hear, and put it in a biblical worldview, a biblical perspective. Amen. Let's bow our heads quickly. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Open our hearts and our minds that we could receive from you, Lord. Thank you for the time of worship this morning. Thank you for the time of fellowship, Lord. We bless you. We love you. We thank you. We know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. Let it lead and guide us. Let your word illuminate the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, decaying world, Lord. We need your word to illuminate each and every step. We need your word today more than we did yesterday. Speak to us through your word. Give us revelation, not just information, but give us revelation knowledge that leads to transformation, Lord. We need to hear from you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Colossians 3:15 is talking about the old, taking off the old, putting on the new. And if you look at Colossians, let's look at if you start at 12, but we're going down to 15. This is what I want you to make a note of, because we've been here for a while. So I want you to understand what God has given us. God has given us a blueprint. God has given us the formula or the ingredients so that we can live a godly life as new men and women in Christ. So this is the ingredients. This is the blueprint. It is very important that you follow it. It's very important that you follow the blueprint or the ingredients if you want to live a victorious life every day. Amen. Yeah. What does it say? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Something's going to rule your heart. What ruled your heart this week? Something ruled your heart. You got the peace of God, which rule in your hearts, to which also you're called into one body. We talked about being one body. Then it says to be thankful. All right. So it's things that are included, the ingredients, just like those of us. Well, I shouldn't say those of us, but those of you who cook or you bake, there are certain ingredients you need. All right. Some of you are so skilled that you can just throw a pinch of this and a pinch of that and it comes out tasting good. Others, we got to read the ingredients. Please read the ingredients. You must follow each and every step. Otherwise, it's not going to turn out right. But when you, it's a formula to it. I remember being a little kid. I don't know if I was, I don't know how it was, 8 or 9, but I was old enough to read. And see, back in the day, our young kids, they don't know much about this, but we used to make our own milk chocolate or chocolate milk or hot chocolate, right? With the Nestle's little brown thing, and you got to scoop it. Didn't you? Thank you, Brother Jerry. Now they just get quick. They just squeeze it into the milk and stir it and drink it. See, we couldn't do that. So, my mom used to make it for me. She said, son, you're old enough to read. Just go read and do it. Simple enough. I went on the back of the can, and there was the ingredients. But look, in my mind, right, it's just like we do with Christ. It just said like a little quarter of something of salt. I said, that's not enough salt. It ain't gonna make a difference. So I put in a teaspoon of salt. That was the nastiest chocolate milk I've ever tasted. Why? Because I didn't follow the ingredients. If you're going to live a victorious life, you have to. You have to follow the blueprint. All right. So here we go. We're going to go through this really quickly. Verse 15, and let the grace of God, because this is all review for those of us that have been here. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Here we go now. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's why we read the Proverbs every day, because that's where the wisdom comes from. But you got to have the word of Christ in you. If you're going to live a new life, you have to have the word of Christ. There's no way around it. Amen. Amen. You, family, we have to participate in our own spiritual growth. It just doesn't happen. Amen. Teaching and admonishing. Teaching is instructing, and admonishing is warning gently. One another in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, underlying spiritual songs, singing with grace. And that grace really stuck with me, the grace of God. So it says when you're singing, when we were singing in worship, grace. Sing with grace in your hearts. So this is what should be in your heart when you're singing to the Lord. Grace in the Greek means pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, joy, and thankfulness. Think about that. When you were worshiping, were you thinking about that, or were you off somewhere else? Or were you distracted? Or were you even here for worship this morning? Uh-oh, Pastor. Don't let the enemy convince you that you don't miss anything if you miss worship. We've talked about it before when we went over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they heard the music and they bowed down. The music and a little pressure, and everybody else sold out. On the other hand, the music, it strengthened. God speaks, he inhabits the praises of his people. Don't make the mistake of saying, I've only missed worship. Make sure you're here. And when you're singing, sing with grace in your hearts. Pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, joy, and thankfulness. That's between you and God. Don't let anything else infiltrate your heart while you're in worship. So that's what this is part of the formula. So maybe you say, well, I haven't been living as victoriously as I should have been. Maybe you're not singing with grace in your heart. Maybe you're not worshiping God at all. You should have ministered to God before you got here this morning. You should have had your own private time of worship, praise, and reading the word. Even before you got here. Family, that's part of the blueprint. And so I try and figure out, why do I struggle with some of the same things? Why I can't live victoriously? Because you're not putting all the ingredients into a victorious life. And that's what you have to do. I can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. Grandma can't do it for you. That's what you have to do. You have to follow the blueprint that God has given us. Amen. Amen. All right. So now last week we kind of paused with the Psalms. All right. So let's go to because it says admonishing, warning gently one another and teaching. So we're teaching the Psalms. We're building up. We're encouraging. And then we're also admonishing. And make a note. Admonish means to warn gently. Don't go off on somebody. You warn them gently. Amen. I don't know if I would do that. It's not me, but I'm just saying I wouldn't do it. Let's go to Psalms 1. Psalms 1 and 1. When you're there, say amen. As we are trying to live a new life, make a note of Colossians 3 and 15. Make a checklist if you have to. Go down your checklist. When you see yourself, you know, kind of drifting off or not feeling as victorious as you think or not living as victoriously as you think you should, make a checklist. Am I operating in love? Am I forbearing? Am I living like the elect? We discovered last week that God has elected us, which means God has chosen us. God told us we are his special treasure. In Psalms 1, it says that the wicked lives as the chaff. So as opposed to treasure, God is saying don't live like trash. That's what the chaff is translated into in verse 4. Or the chaff. One of those. Is it tomato or tomato, potato or potato? I don't know. It's one of them. But God says that we are a special treasure to him. He said he's elected us. Said the wicked lives as trash or as garbage. Does a comparison in Psalms 1. Family, were you treasure or trash? Were your decisions treasure or trash? Were your choices, the choices you made this week, were you making them as a treasure are trash? You go through your checklist. When you're a special treasure, you live a certain way, you operate a certain way. Certain places you go, certain places you don't go, certain things you do, certain things you don't do, certain people you don't hang out with, kids or youth, when you're at school, it's certain people that you should not hang out with, and you already know that. certain things you don't need to do. Because you're a special treasure and you're not, and you shouldn't be living like the chaff or the trash, which the wind just drives any way that it blows. Family and parents, we have to teach our kids that they're treasure. And then it's more important that they believe it, we believe it, than they believe it, right? You ever had your kid and you see how brilliant they are and you try and convince them of that? And they don't, oh, not me, Dad. No, my other friends are a lot smarter than me, this, that, the other. That's what God says about you and I. He's trying to convince you you're a special treasure. You're like, no, no, you should see what I did last night. God is like, I don't care about that. You're still my special treasure. I died for you. I've chosen you. Just like we try and convince our kids, God is trying to convince us daily. Jesus spent his whole ministry trying to convince his disciples that he was who he said he was and that he could do what he said he was going to do. He spent 3 years ministering, doing miracles, and you can read yourself. And he performed a miracle and it said some believed and some didn't. In the midst of it. So here we are, just really quickly in Psalms, because this is a review, but it deserves repeating. It says, blessed or happy is the man, and that man translated as mankind, is the person that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Yes, it does matter where you walk and how you live, where you stand and where you sit, where you go, who you hang out with, and where you choose to stay. It makes a huge difference. But the joy is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. Study, have the word in your heart, meditating day and night. So it said that we should admonish, that we should warn gently, and we should teach the Psalms to one another as part of us putting on the new. And it says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season, in the right season. Your leaf, your reward shall not fade away. And whatsoever you do, that word prosper means to progress, to be productive. Doesn't mean you're going to get a lot of money. Somebody say amen. So I've seen it taught the other way. Well, you're going to be rich. It says right here that you're going to prosper. No, that means to progress. Amen. Amen. Hey, family, be thankful for the small steps. Amen. I hope I progressed a little bit this week, a little bit further ahead than I was last week. And that's our goal. God is not looking for perfection, but he's looking for loyalty. He's looking for commitment. He's looking for humility. He's looking for submission to his will. It's not, if it was based on perfection, none of us would make it. Verse 4, the ungodly, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff. They're like the trash or the garbage. And it talks about his hay and his stubble, and it just blows away, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way. You look up the way in the Hebrew, says the Lord knows the way, and the word the way is translated to journey, direction. God knows the habit, the way, the path, the course of life, the distance. God knows your way. He knows your habits. He knows the path. God knows you. It's the good news and the bad news. Somebody say amen. Amen. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Somebody say amen. Amen. But the way of the ungodly shall perish or be destroyed. Speak to each other in psalms and hymns. Now let's go to Psalms 18. Psalms 18 and 1. This is a song. This is a prayer of David after he's been delivered. Amen. Anybody ever been delivered from anything? Somebody say amen. Amen. Did you sing a song or did you cuss God out and have a pity party and say, why me? You got the option. This is what David said after he had been delivered. So make a note that David was a praying man. And through this, we see that God answers prayer. So make a note of that. Don't miss that. God is a God that answers prayers. It also shows that God does intervene in the affairs of mankind for his glory. David, the name David means beloved. So God intervenes on behalf of his people. David also had faith in the character of God. He knew he could call on God. He knew what God would and wouldn't do. In the second and third verse, David calls on eight names of God. Eight names of God, eight attributes, eight characteristics of God. Family, you got to know who God is, what he is, who to call on, when to call on that. He's what, your provider, he's your healer, he's your deliverer. He's the Jehovah Shammah, the Lord God that is there. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. You got to know when to call on Jehovah Shalom. God, I need peace right now. God, I need you, Jehovah Jireh, I need you to provide. God, Jehovah Rapha, I need you to heal me, my heart, my mind. You got to know. He called on him eight different names, eight different characteristics, attributes of God. Eight being the number of new beginnings. If you're looking for a new beginning, maybe you should underline these eight and go back to them and study them all week. He called on eight. We're going to get into them a little bit deeper, but here's the eight. He called God his strength, his foundation, his place of safety, his fountain, his deliverer, my strong God, and my defender, the horn of my salvation. Those are the eight that he called on. As he was being tested by his enemies and being pursued, and instead of giving up on life, he called the name of God. It's something we do every day. We just don't think about it, right? And you got to know who to call, right? You have a toothache, you call your mechanic, right? You call on the name of your mechanic when your tooth is hurting. Who you call on? You call on the dentist. Oh, right. Why? Because why? All right. There you go. You have a financial situation, you call on the banker. You go to the bank teller. Say, why is no money in my account? Because you ain't put none in there. Oh, okay. I guess that's why. Amen. No deposit, nothing to withdraw. But we do it every day. But when it comes to God, we don't do it. We'll call on everybody else, but then we don't call on God. Now, look, this is even more important because this is a song. So it says the caption says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the words of this song. This is a song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Didn't know pastor had it in him, huh? All right. Hey, he just broke out into a song. So if I could sing, I would try and sing this whole thing. I think I can get one line out. That's about it. But that's how he started. He's been delivered. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't saying, why me? He wasn't on the prayer gossip line. He wasn't having a pity party. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. God, I love you so much. I'm so intimate with you. I'm so close to you, Lord. And then he goes on and he breaks it down. So family, just as important as it is for how we view ourselves, the treasure that God has created and elected us to be, we have to make sure that we view God just as equally as important. You got to know who God is. You have to know. You have to believe that you're that special treasure, and you have to believe that God can do anything that he said he can do. And then you got to believe both 100%. It's just no way around. I think I said it before, but my greatest fear is that, Pastor, you're supposed to pass. You're not supposed to have any fears. Man, keep it real, okay? Is that I would I wouldn't give God 100% of me and my heart and my life. And so then I would never know what God could have really done with my heart and my life if I would have gave him 100%. And I'll never know until I live like I'm that special treasure. And you'll never know until we live like that special treasure, until we call on the name of God and know the characteristics and the attributes of God. God is not out to get us. That's way too easy. And until you live like you are 100% convinced that God is who he said he is and that you are that special treasure and you live like such, then you'll never know. You'll never know what God could have done. You'll never know. And that's my biggest fear. Man, don't sell yourself short based on the culture and what the world is saying. Get into this word and live and see what God can do when you give him 100%. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And he goes to verse 2. He says, the Lord is my rock. So that rock being interpreted in the Hebrew is a fortress, a stone, a security. The Lord is my security. Remember, he's just been delivered. His enemies were all around him. Saul wanted to kill him. And God brought him through. That's why it's so important that we got to come on Sunday and get refueled. You got to be somewhere. And you got to go on Wednesday and get refueled, because by the time Tuesday night gets here, I don't know what I believe. I done been beat up in the world, at the gym, here, there. I done heard so much stuff. I don't know what I believe anymore. And I go back Wednesday night. Okay. All right, God, you're right. Okay, God, I got it. You're right, God, you're right. Now I come back here Sunday and get refueled and I can make it. A couple of days and you don't know if he's your rock or if he's a piece of sand. Which reminds me of another story. Amen. He said God is his rock. And I guess my contractors know this. There's certain types of rocks. And we used to have, as kids, you could just crumble a rock in your hand. It wasn't a real rock, right? But he said, no, this rock is like, and he refers to it often, it's like a cliff. And we were watching a movie the other night, Mount Everest. Like, who would want to climb that thing? I don't know, but somebody got the bright idea. We're going to climb Mount Everest. Not everybody made it back. Let's just put it that way, okay? But it's you can get inside the rock and it protects you from the elements. The rock is strong, it's sturdy. It's not going anywhere. Unlike my brother and I, we would have what was supposed, okay, it was supposed to be a dirt rock fight. Okay. Mickey knows my brother Lavelle, man. So Lavelle's 2 years older than me. So we're having a dirt rock fight, supposedly. And you get hit with a dirt rock, it just explodes on your clothes, and it ain't nothing. So what? Nah, not Lavelle. So he had a real rock and a dirt rock, and he hit me in the head. Right? You could look close enough, you could see. All right? So then, what does that lead? It leads to a lie. Now I got to go in the house. Boy, you better not tell mama. You better not tell daddy. Okay, so what happened? Some kid from the other street threw a rock. Right. And hit you in the head? Yeah, you sure? Yeah, I think that's something like, anyway, a made-up story, right? Tell mom and dad, because Lavelle, instead of using a dirt rock. See, David is saying Jesus is not a dirt rock. He's not the kind that you pick up and no. He's a real deal. He's a fortress. He's a stone. And then he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. And fortress is a castle or a defense. And my deliverer, make a note of deliverer. Deliverer says he's my escape, to carry away safely, even to cast forth. Some of us, God had to cast us forth to get out of it, deliver us out of some stuff. It says even to slip away or to bring to safety. Let me say that again. God is our deliverer. He's our escape, to carry away safely, to cast forth, to slip away, to bring to safety. Man, there's still some situations I don't know how I got out of. Hey, somebody say, man, I still don't know. Anybody else ever have a night where you say, Lord, if you get me out of this, Lord, I promise I'm going to church every Sunday, Lord. God, if you get me out of this tonight, I'm cutting it all out. You have no idea. I have no idea. The grace of God. But he's the deliverer. That's what to escape. Some kind of way we got out of that. I got out of that. But that was one of those nights. I think I had maybe two, but I know one for sure. If you want to know more, I can tell you later. Amen. Lord, I tell you, I promise God, this is it. If you get me out of this, as the old folks say, I'm going to straighten up and fly right. If you get me home safely tonight, Lord, I swear to God, I'm swearing to you, God. That's what the word deliver. This is David. He's just been delivered. He said, this is who God is. You got to know, family, that this is who God is. Whatever you and I are facing now, whether it's our physical health or our financial health, our spiritual health, dealing with family and marriages and friends and just kids. Anybody have kids? Anybody ever seen a kid? Whatever, God is the deliverer. And then he says, he's my God. Okay, I should have told you. When he said the Lord, that means that was, let me see, when he said the Lord, because he switches them. When he says the Lord, he says Jehovah, the existing one. Mm. See that? So here's the question. Do we really believe that God is real and that God exists? Some people are still there, and that's okay. But David said he called on the Lord, the existing one. And then in verse 2, he says, my God, and he switches it to El Shaddai, which means the Almighty. Not only is he the existing one, but he's the Almighty one. Sometimes you just need to know that God exists, God will know you there. And then sometimes you need to know that God is Almighty and he can do whatever he says he can do. In the midst of your deliverance, and some of us know that God is Almighty. Some of us know through experience, through being delivered from all kind of stuff, that God is Almighty, because we tried it on our own and it didn't happen. So he calls on El Shaddai. And then he goes to verse and continues in verse 2. He says he's my strength, which is my refuge. He's huge. He's massive. It's not the dirt rock. It means rock again. It's not the sand. It's not a pebble. Jesus is not a pebble. He didn't say on this pebble I should build my church and the hate gates of hell should not prevail against it. He's not a grain of sand. And he says, in whom I will trust. Underline trust because that's important. To have confidence and to have hope. David said, I put all my eggs in the Jesus Christ basket. So here comes a question. Who are you and I? Who are we trusting in? Where's your trust at? David said, after all that, because you could know the names of God, but if you don't trust in all that, then it doesn't even count. You could know the play, since it's football season, you can know the play, but if you don't run it correctly, what's the point? You're not going to score. You're not going to be victorious. You can know all the names of God, but if you don't trust in God, what's the point? And he says he's my buckler, which is a shield and protector, a defense. He's the ruler. It also compared it to the scaly side of a crocodile. That's what a buckler is. Never wrestled a crocodile, so I don't know what that feels like. I can only imagine the scaly side, but I know it protects him. I know you're not going to break through that on the back of a crocodile. You got to get him under his underbelly where it's soft. He's the horn of my salvation. He's a ray of light. The horn means a ray of light and power. Salvation means liberty to rescue and victory. Jesus is the light and power. He's my victory. He's my rescue. He's my freedom. Oh, that's saying a lot, family. That's saying a lot. Meditate on verse 2 and verse 3 during the week. Add it to your little 5-minute study, but just let it sink in. through his deliverance, through his trials, he came to know God just like this. He's a high tower. It's a high place of retreat. Says his high tower is inaccessible altitude. It's so high nobody can get there but God. You run to God's high tower, you don't have to worry about anybody else being there but you. It's secure. It's a defense. It's a high fort, as in military terms. He says, I will call upon the Lord, cry out, to invite, to summons, to proclaim, to commission. Call out. To cry upon the name. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And the worthy and the praise, he's shine, he's boast, he celebrates in God, he glorifies God. This is after he's been delivered. He commends God. He's allowed God to show off. He said he had to call out, he had to cry out, he had to summons, he had to invite. He said, so shall I be saved. To be liberated from my enemies. That's why it's so important that we praise and we worship God. Look at verse 3 again. I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So as we end service, as we end service today, I just want to end a little differently. I want to just spend a little time in worship. Sing a worship song, and I want you just to think, is God the eight attributes of God, the defender, the rock, the fortress. So we'll just bow our heads and just bow our heads and just worship and just think about God, what he is to you. Yes, Lord, my rock, my deliverer, my fortress. Worthy to be praised. Yes, yes. If you want to come to the altar and pray, that's perfectly fine, but you don't have to. Yes, the trust, the confidence, the hope is in you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I believe it this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our strength, our provider, our director. I believe. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe. You're more than enough. Thank you for being our defense, Lord. All I need. Yes, thank you, Lord, for being our escape. Our safety. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. I trust. We're not just saying it, Lord. We mean it this morning. I'll trust in you, Lord. With 100% of my heart. Yes, Lord. I believe. Heal my heart, Lord. Heal my mind. Heal the broken heart. Heal my emotions, Lord. Heal my body. Heal my mind. Oh, thank you, Lord, for healing this morning. Yes. More than Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being my rock. Oh, yes, Lord. Nothing's impossible, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nothing, Lord, nothing. I cast it all upon you. Nothing is impossible. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus, you're all I need. Thank you, Lord. I believe. We believe it this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life, and that more abundantly. And maybe someone's here and saying, Lord, I've never accepted Christ. My first step is to accept Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you say, Pastor, I need to accept Christ. It's my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. Or maybe you're saying, Pastor, I've been committed to two of the eight, but I haven't committed to all eight of the attributes of God. Of these attributes of God, is so many more. But either way, Pastor, I need to rededicate. As this year is ending, I don't want it to end the way it's been going. If you want to rededicate this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've just been out and I've been visiting churches, but I haven't joined, and I think I want to join this morning. We'd love to be your family. We're not members. We're actually family here. If that's you and you're looking for a church home and you want to unite with us this morning, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you. How we believe that you are a healer. How we know that you're more than enough for us. How you provide each and every need. Oh, we love you, Lord. So we play that one more time. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. Yes, Lord. Why don't you stand to your feet and just lift your hands as we prepare to leave? Jesus, you're all I need. I believe you're my portion. Yes, I believe you're more than enough for me. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug somebody and you are dismissed. All I need. Jesus, you're all I need. You're my poor.